This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The Web City Music Station, Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is an author. His name is Kohan Kaletz, and he has a brand new book called The Seven Times and Seven Times I Bow. Kohan, thank you for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How's everything going?
Oh, everything's going swimmingly.
Swimmingly. I love it.
I mean, you know, I guess I'm not drowning, so, you know, a little bit of a sort of Woody Allen sort of joke.
Beautiful. I love it. Big fan. So tell me all about this brand new book. Tell me all about the Roman Empire, or, you know, we're going farther than that. But tell me all about, you know, tell me all about seven times I bow.
OK, so this book is set in about like the 1350s BC. And I know most people haven't really thought about that time period. Maybe people have heard of like the famous Queen Nefertiti is contemporary to her. So the situation going on there is the Egyptian Empire is a really powerful empire at the time. Mm-hmm. But there's another empire that's growing in the north called the Hittite Empire, which is threatening all the other empires. It's turning them all into disarray. And between these two empires is the Egyptian possession of Canaan, sort of like where the Canaanites live. And this is sort of like a story of the Canaanites and what it means to be an oppressed people controlled by an empire from like various different perspectives, how empires sort of turn oppressed people against each other and all like sort of the politics that go into it, along with being like a very frank and realistic portrayal of war in the ancient world.
So, you know, before we got you on the air here live, we were talking and you were playing a harp. What was it called?
Called a lyre.
The lyre. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm already thinking like, you know, you have a huge obsession with this period in time, you know, I mean, where did your interest come from in the start to get this book off the ground?
Well, I would say I've always had felt the need to sort of tear down, boundaries between cultures, sort of like as a way to resolve conflict. Obviously, being of Jewish descent myself, but being very much having a strong affinity for Arab culture, I lived in Morocco for a year, for example. The deal with that is, you know, there's a lot of conflict in that region, besides just Israel and Palestine, also like with Lebanon and Syria. And I wanted to create a older, more unified Canaanite identity that people in the region can look back on and say, we have a great past and we have hope for a better and brighter future.
You know, and there's something beautiful about that too, you know, trying to bring two cultures together that are in such a war right now with each other. And, you know, to bring it back to this century, even though it's a fictional book, you know, to bring it back to that is something stellar too. You know, I mean, to try to get that opinion out there that, you know, we're all the same in a sense. You know, and here's kind of where we came from.
All the stories in the book, it's set in the late Bronze Age, but it could be set in the present day. A lot of the conditions described in the book, sort of like the Cold War or proxy war going on between the Hittites and the Egyptians, this could just as easily be like between Russia and the United States or between Saudi Arabia and Iran, or sort of like the conflicts going on in the region today.
You know, I think I also think it's incredible too. You wrote over 439 pages of this book. You know, how long did this project start? Like, when did this start, and like, how long was the journey to write this full book?
Well, I really started this when I was in college. I had made this little animated series that covered some of the same ground, but it sort of petered out because I was finding it hard to get actors in it who could, you know, who didn't struggle with the language. But people were very engaged with that series and they wanted to see where it was going. So I started writing it when I was in college, but I didn't really get inspired to really focus on it and finish it until the pandemic began. And I lost my job during the pandemic, of course, and it gave me a lot of spare time to sort of like focus on writing this book and just polish it and make sure I crossed my T's, dotted my I's, put the little dot under the H that makes it pronounce like ha instead of ha, you know? Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And sometimes, you know, through tragedy like the pandemic comes inspiration, you know, and that's where you came from with this book too. You know, are any of the characters kind of based off your own life too?
Well, I think every author kind of bases some of the characters off of them, like all their characters off of themselves. I like to think that a lot of the characters are based on some aspect of myself. Like, for example, Milkilu, who's the closest thing we kind of have to like a main character or protagonist. He sort of struggles with the fact that he's an interracial person who's caught between two communities. In his case, with a Canaanite father and a Nubian mother. And he's not truly accepted in both communities, but that's sort of his struggle to sort of like overcome, you know, his disadvantages and try to make a better life for himself and his family, albeit through absolutely disgusting means, since he's actually kind of like, he's basically a sex trafficker. His nickname is the Pimp of Gezer.
Oh, God.
As he's the guy who provides virgins for the Pharaoh's harem.
Oh, God. Well, he's a bad guy.
Not exactly. He's a complicated character. Now, there's no clear good guys or bad guys in this story. It's, you know, too historical for that.
When you were, you know, in college too, you know, what did you study, you know, to kind of get yourself psyched up for this book?
I was a history major, and I also studied Middle Eastern and North African studies. So I took like 3 years of Arabic as part of that.
It's really interesting too that, you know, you were so into the Arabic culture, you know, being that you are Jewish too, because I feel like that speaks words in volume, the fact that you want to experience all the cultures out there, you know, not just the ones that you've been surrounded by when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a very strong cultural affinity between Jewish culture and Arab culture, or particularly like Levantine Arabic culture, since they share a common origin, in that both like Jews, Palestinians, Jordanians, Lebanese, and Syrian people are all descended from the Canaanites. So the interesting thing about the Canaanites is, for a culture and a civilization that had such a strong impact on human history, including Western history, they're very little discussed, you know. And usually they're discussed in the context of the Bible as these big evil villains that sacrifice their children. And of course, that's not entirely true. Like, archaeology has sort of shown that the Canaanites did not widely practice human sacrifice. But it's sort of like a lot of prejudice has survived. And of course, here's another interesting fact. Most people believe that the Phoenicians invented the alphabet. You heard that?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yes.
But actually, the earlier alphabet, which was the origin before the Phoenician alphabet, was actually the Proto-Sinaitic alphabet, which was invented by Canaanite slaves. Wow. It's sort of like the intangible heritage that was created for humanity by these oppressed people, I think, has been a very, very interesting thing for me.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, and it's awesome that you did your research, you know, too, to like, to build this book up to where it is, and to also, you know, kind of keep it historical, but also keep it into an imaginatory way, you know. When you were creating this whole new, you know, I mean, I really shouldn't say it's a new society, because it really kind of bases itself off of everything that society has done. But like, you know, trying to create these scenarios in that period of time, was that a challenge in itself? Because you personally never lived through that period. I don't think anybody recently, like anybody living right now, has ever lived through that period. But
you
like,
have to be like,
you know, trying to do your research, I guess, on it.
You would have to be like, you know, 3,400 years old to have lived through
here. Exactly, but, you know.
A lot of the cultural elements of ancient Canaan has survived in Palestinian, Lebanese, Syrian, and Jewish culture. And I think it's very easy to sort of connect with that, since it's human life fundamentally hasn't actually changed that much. You going back to the source, the source for this book is the Elamarna letters, which are truly incredible because, you know, for most of Egyptian history in Canaan, you hear almost nothing. But then suddenly they discover this gigantic corpus of letters. It's like letters between the pharaoh and all of his vassal kings and other kings in the region. And it's, you go from not being able to put together much at all besides maybe like what the pharaoh wrote about himself on a temple to just like this vast picture of this interconnected world of different small city states. That's what I like to draw on.
That's amazing. And you know, you were saying before too that you this started off as a cartoon or like a little animation that you created for school. Did you always kind of see yourself as a writer for a film? Because I feel like this book also was written in such a way where it's kind of like, it's kind of screen written.
It is a, I would say it's very inspired by the way, you know, when you write a screenplay. And like in screenwriting, they tell you, you got to make sure that there's a beginning and a middle and an end every scene so that something changes from the beginning to the end. Something that should capture the audience's attention and keep them watching, I think even more so when you have a book. But I've been trying to, you know, put something lurid basically in every chapter so people don't want to put it down. It doesn't slow down. It has a high pace. I'm told I have to like slow down a little bit because it's very punchy with the action.
Yeah, yes, yeah, the old sex sells method. That's always
there is sex for sure. There's for sure a lot of sex. A lot of, yeah. Actually, a lot of violence. Oh God, so much violence. But that's history for you. You know, people are just a bunch of like upright bald apes who just do upright bald ape things, like have sex with each other and stab each other.
Well, you know what? And I think that's really where it comes down to when this is where we were kind of like, we weren't really looked as humans. We were kind of looked as animals, you know, in this part of society, you know, and we were just kind of still adapting to what a society should be at this point in time. And it's really cool that you've captured this in such a big book, you know, for people to take a read to and also capture the imagination as well. For those who want to read the book, where can they read it?
So it's available on Amazon. Right now, the best way to find it is just Google Kohan Collette's Amazon, and I'll spell the name for you. Kohan space Killetz. I can even make a song. Kohan Killetz. That's how you spell my stupid name.
Perfect. I love it. And then you got to play it on the harp, though.
Okay.
Yeah, well, play it on the harp for us. Beautiful. I love it. Playing me out here. Play me out here. Come on, here you go. Play it. Play me out. I'll do the book. I'll do the book out here for you. Seven times and seven times I bow by Kohan Collette. Kohan, thank you for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show with the beautiful music and for the beautiful chapter and the beautiful book. All right, enough. You're good.
Bye. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. Kohan Collette, everyone, the author of Seven Times and Seven Times I Bow. You can go get it on Amazon. Thank you for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. Best of luck with everything.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.